Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Shannon.
Hey, Dark Hearts.
Hey, Dark Hearts. Echo.
You know, it's fine. Sorry for that abrupt end last week's episode. Yeah.
It wasn't too bad. I listened to it and I was like, okay. We just wrapped it up fine. I think to us it felt rushed because we were rushed and like, it was like, all of a sudden, story, okay, bye. But I listened to it and I think it was fine. So,
okay, we good. Aside from editing it, I haven't had a chance to listen to it before we record this one now. So I was like, yeah, sorry guys if that felt like abrupt. We ran out of, you know, time management isn't always a strong
it's
suit.
Hard. It's real hard to find time. That's why I just wish this was more of like, I mean, a full-time job. Well, it kind of is on top of having a full-time job, you know?
Right, but yes.
Someday I want this to be the only job is where we're headed with that.
If you One feel day. Me. Mm-hmm. Girls can dream. Mm-hmm. Just a reminder, too, this is Indigenous Peoples Month. We will continue to post in our show notes links for information about like how you can support Indigenous people, how you can help with the missing, murdered Indigenous women and things of that nature. That is a very important thing. So questions or concerns, if you guys have comments for us about anything, if we misspeak in any way, please let us know. Like, we're always open to learning and, you know, growing as people. So we just want to do our best to do what we can to spread awareness about this in whatever way possible. So that's what we've got. And then
for sure,
we haven't, by the time this comes out, I'm sure we'll have posted, but Shannon, you did the randomizer for the winner for our birdie, right?
Sure did. So, we did the giveaway for the birdie, and I guess here's a little ad for you. The birdie is a handheld little safety device, situation alarm system kind of thing. You basically use it when you're out walking. It sends a loud, very loud chirping sound, as well as a flashing light. If you are feeling unsafe, it's to help deter anyone that could be attacking you. They also have a Birdie Plus now, tracks your location, can give you fake calls to help you get out of uncomfortable situations. And it can even call first responders for you. So there's a quick little snippet of that. We love to promote that because clearly we care about, you know, safety, and, we like to have any kind of extra help we can. So if you do choose to get one of those, if you just go to the website, we'll have that all over our Facebook always, our Instagram, our Twitter, anything.
It's always in our show notes.
Yeah. And you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you do get 15% off your order. So with that being said, we did the giveaway. For those of you that missed it, we'll be doing something, I'm sure, again in the future like that. But thanks to everyone that participated in that. That's always fun. And our winner is, you want to?
Yeah, did you?
Yeah. Jesse R. So Jesse R. has probably already knows by now this when this comes out. But yeah, we just wanted to say congrats and we hope you enjoy your birdie. We hope you never actually have to use it, but we hope you feel a little bit safer having it with you.
Yes. Also, speaking of that, actually got a Instagram message from a listener today. Okay, I Googled how to pronounce your name, so I'm sorry if I say this wrong. Siobhan. So it's an Irish name, you know, the Siobhan.
I haven't even seen that. So yes.
So she told me about the fact that if you write an emergency contact number on your alarm too. So if for whatever reason the alarm is not enough to draw attention, and you drop said alarm, like say you're unfortunately being abducted or something, this will be a way for someone close to you to know right away that something has happened and to alert authorities to that.
That's
as
a really
well.
Good idea.
Right.
I'm reading that now. Wow. Thank you. I'm not even going to attempt to say your name because I, but that is a great idea. And see, we love that kind of thing. So if you guys have little tips like that, that's wonderful. Because that's something I would never have thought about doing, but it makes so much sense, you know?
Same. And I mean, with the Birdie Plus, it's nice because you can now send, like you just, with a press of a button, can send to an emergency contact that you have pre-programmed your location. Yeah. And so that's really nice. But if you just have the original birdie, that's a fantastic idea as well. So thank you so much, Siobhan, for letting us know about that. And I apologize. I swear I Googled how to say it. So if I'm saying it wrong, no, I don't mean any disrespect. I really do appreciate it.
She gets it, I'm sure. You know, it's one of those names. When you have one of those names, you just expect everyone to say it wrong, which sucks. But we're with that percentage of people probably. So, you know.
Yeah. Cool name. I mean, anything else to go over? Do you have a good Halloween?
Yeah. Everything. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have.
Because we recorded here on since Halloween.
Then. I was like, Cassie, we've talked about this. No.
I know.
Yeah. Halloween was fantastic. It was amazing weather in Nebraska for anyone that was in our parts. It was beautiful. And it was so busy. I don't know about you, but like, the neighborhood we were in was packed, and I'm sure it had to do with the amazing weather, but...
I mean, yeah, we stick to our neighborhood pretty much, mm-hmm. and it was fairly busy. We also, I mean, having slightly younger kids, like, with my daughter mm-hmm. being younger, we go a little earlier. I think we went, like, 6:30, so mm-hmm. it was getting a little busier as we were finally kind of starting to wrap up and get home, but...
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Crazy. I've never seen it like that. We met up with some friends and those kids all went together and just tore up the town. And when we left, my daughter's friends were still going at it and they're like, do you want to keep going? She's like, no, I'm good. I was like, yeah, that's fine. We are good.
Yeah.
And it was only like 8, but I mean, it was a school night. So that sucks. So
see, OPS didn't have school the next day even, but I then spent 8 hours at the tattoo shop on that Tuesday getting work done on my arm. So, you know,
which is amazing. And I'm super jealous of that.
Well, should I dive into this week's case?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So, I do want to say, I'm probably going to say this quite a bit. There really wasn't a ton of information on this case and I can't understand why this isn't more well known. So like, trigger warning too, there's some graphic things in this. You know, I'm not going into too much detail, but it's, as always, like there's some horrendous things that have happened in this. And so when I was trying to research this, I found several podcasts. The only really big one that I knew of that had done it was My Favorite Murder. They did one of their live shows forever ago covering this. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I listened to it way back in the day, but I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little bit over My Favorite Murder.
I stopped listening a long time ago because of lots of reasons.
I stopped listening when they started, like during the pandemic, just like doing quilt episodes, and that was mm-hmm. it. And I was like, I've already listened to all of these and you're just doing them again. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So anyways, so I didn't go back and listen to that one. I did start to listen to one called Eerie Oki or something like that.
That's a funny
and name. But then she just kept mentioning this other podcast called Unresolved, which I had come across. So I was like, well, I'm just going to listen to that one instead. But I was so shocked that I could not find a documentary or anything like that. Some YouTubers who cover true crime, you know, had some stuff and I didn't watch any of those.
Yeah.
And some Reddit posts, you know, things like that. But like Unsolved Mysteries even, which I'm kind of surprised about, like that this,
yeah,
surprised, but yet not in a way, you know, because mm-hmm. the victims are Native American women. And I'm just like, how is this not, I can't fathom with all that happened in this case, how at the very least Unsolved Mysteries, because this happened between the 70s and the 80s, and I'll get into dates and stuff soon, but I'm like, this was Unsolved Mysteries heyday.
Yeah.
How have we not covered this?
Yeah, that is, I mean, that just proves, I guess, even more the point of why we're covering these cases, because they are not covered nearly enough. I mean, the statistics on some of this stuff is absolutely just heartbreaking.
It is. It
really
is.
These people don't get, yeah, it's terrible.
It is. So this week we are going to Oklahoma City and we're going to be discussing the killer known as the Oklahoma City Butcher. They're also called the OKC Butcher. Like I said, there's violence and some graphic details. In a 10-year span between 1976 to 1986, the OKC Butcher murdered and dismembered three Native American women. And at least there's only three that can be connected. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is there's probably actually a lot more victims. These Absolutely. Are just the three that can be connected to each other. But I'm going to go a little differently this week. Before I, like, dive into the case and everything, I want to say the victims' names and talk about them a little bit. Again, the unfortunate thing is, like, I couldn't find a whole lot about any of these victims. And the little bit I did find, I mean, it doesn't talk about who they were as people. Not really. And that's heartbreaking because they were more than just victims.
Oh, yeah.
But this is what I've found and what I've had. And like I said, I mean, I'm sure part of the fact the lack of information is from the times, but mm-hmm. it also did come out, like, the first victim was originally misidentified as a white woman. And at first the news coverage was all over it, but the moment it came out, it was a Native woman, it stopped. So I think that's also a big part of it.
That's so sad to me. Like, that is just ridiculous. There's not even words for how messed up that is, really.
Yeah. The other two victims do end up getting more press coverage, but it's more so for the salaciousness of the things that happen after mm-hmm. they're found, and we'll get into that as we go. So the first victim was Kathy Lynn Shackelford, and she was a member of the Sac and Fox Nation, and she ran away from home in 1975 at the age of 17, and she just never wanted to move back home, even after she turned 18, so she ended up living in the Oklahoma City area, eventually becoming homeless, and her last known sighting was 2 months before her death, when she was treated at the OKC's University Hospital. But nothing's known about what had gone on between that visit and up until the point where her body was discovered, which was on April 1st of 1976. However, even though I'm talking about her, I'm naming her now. So her body was discovered on April 1st of 1976, but she wouldn't be identified till almost two decades later. So she was a Jane Doe for a very long time. In 1993, they used a tooth to compare her DNA to that of her sister. And the only reason why they did this was because Kathy's family, see, they didn't report her missing. And her cousin, Andra, I think, wanted to, but her mom was like, no, it's not your place to do this for another family. And so she waited, and the thing is like, eventually, once both of Kathy's parents were dead and then Andra's mom was dead, she was like, if I don't do it, no one else will.
No.
And so the thing too with this is you're like, well, why wouldn't someone report it? And I know I've kind of talked about this before, but a lot of times people from a minority community and things like that don't trust the police. I read something about how, and I don't have the statistic written down, but like, missing Indigenous people go missing twice, when they actually mm-hmm. go missing, and then they go missing from the system and no one knows what happened to them because they're not reported, or it falls away because there's no trust.
Yeah.
So I can't blame her family, because I'm sure they were like, well, what's the point? They're not going to
They're not going to do anything anyway. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's just more discouraging.
Yep. So Kathy's cousin calls the Oklahoma City police, and she ends up talking. I was like torn between saying talking and speaking to Sergeant Norma Adams. And she had actually had a facial reconstruction of the victim, a photo of this facial reconstruction that was done of this first victim. And we'll get more into that later. But she'd had this on her desk for several months back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And she recognized several similarities as Andra's talking about her cousin, based on like when she was last seen to when, you know, certain characteristics.
How old did you say she was? I'm sorry. I totally.
Oh, I didn't yet.
That. Oh, you didn't. Okay. Then no. Never mind. Go ahead.
No, will say. So originally they thought she was like 20 to 25 when, they first found her, but then they discovered based on blood work later that she was actually, well, and then when we find out who she actually is, she was 18 when she died.
So young. That's sad. Mm-hmm.
So because of her cousin coming forward saying, hey, and then this sergeant recognizing and saying, hey, I think this might be our Jane Doe. They tested this tooth, compared it to Kathy's older sister, and found a match. And so then she was finally, in 1993, identified.
Wow.
But that took a long time. Now, the second victim, she took a little bit before they identified her, but it wasn't more than a few days. And this was Arlie Bell Killian. And her remains were found on April 19th of 1979. Like I said, they weren't able to identify her immediately, but I think it was just like the 25th or something when they did. At the time of her death, Arlie was just 22 years old. She was also Native American. Unlike Kathy, though, she'd actually just been seen hours before her death by her family. So she wasn't reported missing or anything like that because they had just seen her.
Yeah.
We'll get into this a little bit more, but she was found more quickly than Kathy was as well. Unfortunately, the only info I found anywhere about Arlie's life wasn't pleasant. Her dad was a criminal who abused the family and Arlie, and her dad abused her not just physically, but sexually as well. And so this would lead her into substance abuse and eventually becoming homeless as well. And I guess she had had a few run-ins with police, but just like misdemeanor things. All of these victims, I'll kind of get into this a little bit more later too, police all believe they were sex workers, but there's no necessarily proof to this. But just based on the lifestyle and like the part of Oklahoma City where they'll all be found is known for that type of stuff.
Well, and if they were homeless, I mean, it would make sense if they were trying to,
and if you're trying to support a drug habit, right, and stuff as well. And so then the third and final known victim is Marsha Tina Saunders. In Unresolved, he called her Tina Marsha Saunders, but that's the only time I heard it called that. So I don't know if she just went by Tina, you know, and he kind of mixed that up. I'm just going to continue to call her Marsha. Her remains were discovered on March 6th of 1986. She was also Native American and homeless, and she was also 22 years old.
Jeez.
And she was actually just seen the day before her death. So again, she wasn't reported missing either. And so that, unfortunately, is all the information I could really find about any of these women. And it's heartbreaking that we don't get to know more about them as people and who they were as being more than just victims.
Yeah, for sure. That's super sad. And I think, like you said, it's a lot of it is probably with the times too, just nothing available, but also I'm sure the lifestyle of them too, being homeless and having those rough backgrounds, like that's just
sad. And then
sad.
You throw it's in
just
that they were Native American, and so yeah, there was on top less of it, it's coverage, like, and
yeah, I mean, so, strikes against them. That sucks.
Yeah. So now we're going to go back to the actual crimes a bit. Kathy was actually discovered by three men who worked for like the oil company. So they were standing around on April 1st of, what did I say that was? I've got it. So 1976. And they're waiting for this fourth coworker. And so they're bored and like, well, we can't do anything. There's an abandoned house. Let's go check it out. And so they get into this abandoned house and it is just like trashed. Like, I mean, like little, there's just trash everywhere. So they're like shoving stuff to the side, and going through it and everything. They don't realize it, but while they're going to explore and they kick stuff and everything around, one of the things they kicked off to the side, they'll later discover, was actually one of Kathy's thighs. So they're just kind of poking around, and one of the guys sees like a movie theater popcorn bucket and tips it over, and a head rolls out.
No. They probably like think it's some sick April Fool's joke too. Like, not a good one.
It's
like
funny that you, not funny hot, but it's ironic, right, that you bring that up, because we'll come to that in a second. So one of the men actually picks it up because he thinks it's just like an animal or part of an animal or something, because this is how badly beaten and mutilated this Kathy's head is. The other two are like, no, that's a human head. So they run out and they call the police. But because it's April 1st, the police don't think this is true. So for those of you who maybe don't know, April 1st is considered April Fool's Day. People like to play pranks. So police come out, and then once they realize, hey, no, this is real. First of all, Kathy's face, and at this point, like I said, police don't know who she is. Her face is so badly mutilated. And part of this mutilation is that the killer had cut open her lips to make a giant ear-to-ear smile. Gross. And later her cousin will say the horrific irony of it was that Kathy always smiled. She was always smiling. And so it's just, it's horrible. They find bits of her body scattered throughout the house. The only things they didn't find were her sexual organs, which had been cut from the pelvic region, and one of her hands. And they believed the killer took these as trophies.
Gross.
Yeah. And, yeah, like I said, it was just, it is horrible. But it was estimated that she had been dead for about 4 weeks.
At this point, when they found her, ugh. Mm-hmm. So I guess, I mean, if that's bad enough anyway, and then you think about, like, just decomposing and all that, and...
And you're so, already in a house, and it's April. Yeah. I mean, so, like, it probably was a little bit cooler and stuff, but, like, the men even talked about how, like, when they went into the house, like, it smelled like death. But, of course, they probably just thought, well, this is an abandoned house. There's all this trash. Yeah. Of course it's going to smell bad. Well, and
what are the chances you're going to find a body? Like, you could joke around about it, but, like, that doesn't really happen all that often. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And if you are, you'd think it's going to be someone who maybe died of exposure or drug overdose or something like that. You don't expect to find the mutilated, dismembered body. Yeah.
No.
So again, because of how badly beaten she was, they brought in a forensic sculptor to reconstruct her face to see what she would look like. And then this image was circulated throughout different law enforcement agencies to see if they could come up with, you know, anything. And they did blood work. This is how they determined that, no, this wasn't actually a white woman who was around 25. This was actually a Native American woman who was probably late teens, early 20s.
And then all of a sudden, no one cared. Like,
yes.
Disgusting. Like, just disgusting.
Yeah. So then, 3 years later, in April of 1979, a group of kids were playing basketball at a park when one of the kids' dogs, who they'd brought with them, disappeared for a bit and comes walking out of the alley with something in their mouth. These kids go over to see what it is, and it is a human head.
Oh! Uh-huh. I was thinking like an arm as far as like a bone or a stick situation. A head?
This was Arlie's head.
Oh! No, my mind, no. That's so sad and sick, but like, just, I don't know. I feel like that would be heavy too. Like a human head is heavy. And so for a dog, it's okay. Just carry on. Sorry. I'm just thinking all my weird thoughts out loud. That's what we do.
I mean, here, it depends on how big the dog is and stuff.
That's too. True. That's so true. That makes a huge difference. If it's a little shih tzu or something, like probably not.
Yeah. But they no found several other body parts, and tissue. Like it talked about like in the other podcast, like he said tissue specifically. So it's not like they intentionally like cut off bits of like skin and meat and stuff.
Well, hence and they the were butcher wrapped, part of the name, I guess.
Well, and that's just it, because then they were wrapped in newspaper or brown paper bag. But the thing is like, aside from being cut pretty meticulously, they were also washed and cleaned. So there was no blood.
Weird.
And it would actually take them several weeks to get all of her body, because the killer continued to leave them throughout this neighborhood for weeks. So the police determined that they were probably someone who lived in the area or was very familiar and comfortable with the area and was following the news coverage. So this is why Arlie gets a little bit more, because this is sensational, you know, but this is like a horrific sensationalized thing of like, oh my God, these body parts are continuing over these weeks to be found throughout our neighborhood. Unfortunately, they again do not find her sexual organs and one of her hands. But every single body part.
That's the most bizarre thing.
Yeah. Every single body part is washed and cleaned of any blood. Yeah. And so for a bit with Arlie, like, if you want to hear more, I'm not going to go into a deep dive because this wasn't, this is, didn't pan out. This wasn't a suspect, and this isn't a known suspect. For a brief moment, Arlie's brother was actually a suspect because he had a violent history and mental health illness, and he had just escaped from a mental health facility the day before she was killed. However, in the course of him being recaptured, her body parts are still being left out, and they just, he didn't have the mental capacity to, like, plan that.
Well, and to clean them that well, too, to not leave any sort of, like, evidence behind.
Yeah. So, I mean, police eventually, with that and several other things, were like, it couldn't have been him. So, then in March of 1986, so this is almost 7 years later, part of Marsha's remains would be found by an elderly man as he took his dog out into the backyard. And it sounds like it was kind of, like, in the alley behind his backyard where he found part of her. I think he found part of her torso and some, again, some other tissue. And again, it was washed and cleaned. And then the remainder of her body parts would continue to be scattered throughout the neighborhood. At this point,
game, really,
it really is. So it's at this point where police feel confident in linking the three of these murders together. They were all homeless, possibly sex workers. They were all Native American. They were all very similarly disfigured and dismembered. And hopefully after their deaths, we don't actually know for sure how these women died. They've never really released the manner of death.
I was going to ask you if they said what the cause.
No.
Like, I pray that they were already dead when all that horribleness happened. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then, because of the time between Arlie and Marsha, police believe the killer could have either been in jail for something else or something took them out of the area. So they also believe it's very likely that there are other victims that haven't been linked to this case.
Oh.
And in Unresolved, the host speculates that the reason the first victim wasn't scattered like the other two is because the killer didn't get a chance. But to me, I don't think that makes sense because it said she had been deceased for 4 weeks. It seems more likely to me that this is someone who doesn't like women, and he figured a homeless Native American possible sex worker, no one's going to care about.
No one's going to care. Yep.
He has a hate for women, and so this is why we dismembered, we took out the sex organs and stuff. But I think once he realized the sensationalism in the newspapers and stuff from this dismembered body being found, I think then he was like, oh, hey, if I leave them out in public, I'm going to get so much more attention. Because let's face it, serial killers are usually narcissists.
Mm-hmm.
They want their work to, and I say work in quotes, like that's, you know what I mean? Like,
because to them, that's what,
They want people to see it. They want that notoriety. To the point where they get so cocky. I mean, look at how the BTK was so cocky. He needed so badly to have that validation that he sent a floppy disk to the police and got himself caught.
Right. Like, a lot of them do stupid things like that, like writing letters and, like, duh.
So I think this person was like, oh, hey, let's make this, let's up the ante on this. So there were some suspects that have come up, but nothing concrete has ever been proven. And there was a man in Texas, and I didn't write down his name. The thing is, this man was caught for a different murder, but he'd eventually be dubbed the confession killer. And it seemed like he just confessed to get certain privileges and prolong being put to death, because every time you confess, you're flown to new places, you get cigarettes, you get different food, you get all these privileges, really. And it was later determined, like, he couldn't have committed these crimes. Like, he put himself in two places at once a lot of times, like, being super separate. So they eventually were like, there's no way this man did it. They do believe it was someone local to the area who was comfortable. I mean, he knew the area. All these women, their remains were all found within this same vicinity. The neighborhood now has been gentrified. Like, it used to be a poor black community, but then of course they came in, they tore everything down. I think it's like downtown Oklahoma City now.
Oh, damn.
So, you know, there's a lot of that, but at that time they were like, no, this is, this is definitely someone who's familiar with the area, lives here. I will say one thing I came across during my research was a YouTube video of this woman named Becky Long, who, like, it's titled My Dad Was the OKC Butcher. Hmm. And I'm like, okay, at first I was like, okay, did I miss? Did they find it? No, right. This woman is making claims, and I'm not going to say that she might not be telling the truth. I don't know. She claims, though, that her father, Daryl Devin Long, is the OKC Butcher and also responsible for the death of a young woman named Karina Saunders. And I don't know if this Karina Saunders is related to Marcia Saunders, who was the final victim that we know of.
That's interesting.
Her case is also unresolved. She was also 19 and dismembered. I couldn't find if she was Native American or not. But in Becky's YouTube video, and she even, I saw a comment she made on Karina Saunders, like, memorial page, like, finding justice for Karina, because her case is still unsolved, and it's been 10 or 15 years now. But she even commented on there, like, hey, I think my dad was this killer, and she supposedly...
That's a risky little game for herself, too. Like, it's another, like, seeking attention, or, like,
and I don't,
cool, have people show up at your house and kill you because they're pissed. I mean, like,
so I'm a little torn on this, because the thing is she says she's, this Becky woman says she's in contact with, like, law enforcement. The video she posted was, like, 5 months ago, so this was recent.
Yeah, that's recent.
But she's saying her dad has passed, and after he passed, over the last several years, she started to recover some suppressed memories, such as her dad sex trafficking her as young as 6 and letting men rape her and make child pornography with her.
Oh, gosh.
She also claims to then remember seeing her father dismember Marcia Saunders, who was the final victim that we know of. Hey Dark Hearts, just wanted to take a moment to tell you about She's Birdie. What this is a small device that can give you a little bit of peace of mind, whether you're out walking, working late, or whatever it might be. The Birdie is a small device that can easily be on your keychain, your belt loop, your purse, or held in your hand. The original Birdie is just a loud alarm with a flashing light to help draw attention to you if you're feeling uncomfortable or you're in a situation where you need help or attention. Now they offer the Birdie Plus. Same device, except it doesn't have the flashing light. Instead, it comes with an app that gives you 24/7 access to live representatives who can talk with you while you're walking to your car or wherever you might be, you feel uncomfortable, or they can even send first responders to your location, as well as sharing your GPS location with 2 emergency contacts and giving you an excuse call if you're in a situation where you feel uncomfortable and aren't sure how to get away. Now, what's nice about the Birdies is that it's something that you can use discreetly to call the live representatives. You just press the buttons twice. If you want an excuse call, you just tap it once and you'll get an automated call that'll help give you an excuse to get away from whatever situation you're in. Now, if you hold the button, this is what sends your location to your 2 emergency contacts. The original Birdie is $29.95, and the Birdie Plus is $39.95, and then you do need a subscription with that, which is $8.99 a month, or you can do the annual subscription of $89.99, saving you 20%. But if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your Birdie as well. This is something that we love, we have for ourselves as well, just with the type of stuff that we're into, the true crime. We're clearly more aware of our surroundings. We are a little more cautious at times, and this can just give us a peace of mind. It's also great if you have teenagers who are out now, working later, school activities, to give you peace of mind about their safety as well. So again, their site is SHESBIRDIE.com, and if you use our code DARKHEARTS15, you'll get 15% off your order today. So stay Heartland kind, but Darkland wary, and have that birdie with you to make sure you stay safe. Yeah.
So yeah. Weird. And one weird of her other things. There.
Yeah. So one thing I forgot, all of these women were almost scalped. Like they hacked, the killer hacked off their hair. And this Becky woman talks about how when she was young and she made her dad angry, he hacked off her hair. Now, I'm not saying this horrible stuff didn't happen to her possibly. And I'm not even saying that her dad isn't this. It could very well be this. You then come to a point of, are you posting these things to try to get law enforcement to do something, or are you posting this trying to interject yourself? I don't know.
There's a lot of unanswered questions there, and you never know. I mean, I always find it very, like, if I was that person, or if, I don't know that I would necessarily volunteer that information for my own safety purposes.
I mean, there's like, so many reasons, I guess.
Yeah.
My thing is, if you went to police and they're not taking you seriously, maybe trying to find press first, like the woman in Iowa who, you know, his dad was potentially a serial killer and we have these things going on.
I know, that thing's so weird too. That's a whole nother thing.
So,
but yeah, I could, like, I more proof or something. I mean, like, just saying that, okay. But then once again, it's like, what happens if they do investigate all that and then nothing comes from it? It's like all that time and money wasted. But then, like, you almost can't not investigate it either. Right. You know what I mean? So it's tough.
Right. And who's to say her dad may have done some horrendous things, and maybe he's not the OKC butcher, but maybe he's responsible for some other things.
Yeah.
And she talks about how her and her brother both still have a bunch of his knives. Like, he had a lot of knives.
And he's not living any longer.
Living any longer. So I don't know. It's really, she makes, like, if you watch her YouTube video, which, I mean, it's kind of like with any conspiracy theory thing, like, she makes some compelling arguments.
Yeah.
Who's to say? We are living in a time where so much is coming out. DNA is huge. So I hope and pray that there's some DNA from the crime scenes that the police still have. I mean, I don't know, especially with the last two victims being claimed and dismembered.
I know.
Let's hope there's some way for them to find this and link this to whoever the killer is.
Well, and especially since they found their bodies somewhat, I mean, more recent than the first victim, things would be more fresh, you would think, in the sense of, like, if they did have any kind of evidence, but... And yeah, when they didn't have all that testing available, like, do you keep it that
But they still,
long?
I mean, we've seen that they still saved things knowing that technology was coming one day. So let's hope. But since, like, that's unfortunately all there is about this case. There's really not much. And I tried, and it was really just the same information over and over again. And since there really is so little, and this is going to be a shorter episode, I came across a few small stats that I wanted to share. I'm sure there's a bunch more I could have gone into. But I wanted to draw attention to some of the statistics. And one thing I found, which I'll link to, was about Native American and also Alaskan Native women are 2.5 times more likely to experience violent crimes and 2 times more likely to experience rape or sexual assault compared to all other races.
That is sickening. I don't know, like, sorry to interject myself
here,
you're good. But there is this TV show. I know I've told you, Cassie, about it. It's called Alaskan Daily, and it's really drills in on that. And I think at the end of every show, that statistic is always up. And I find it
nice.
So
I like
compelling.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, Hillary Swank's in it, and it is a pretty good show. Like, it's not my favorite, but I think the fact that they are putting a focus on Indigenous people in general is nice to see.
I haven't watched that one. It's on my list. My one thing that kind of stops me is I'm like, okay, we have yet another white savior. You know what I mean? They like to do those every time.
Totally.
It's drawing attention. We have that white savior. It's Hillary Swank. It's not. And but it is nice that they're sharing those stats. They're giving that.
I think it's great that they're even just showing any of it. And I personally
hopefully we'll get more. And I know I've brought them up before. The last time I covered, but there are podcasts by Indigenous women talking about their missing and murdered Indigenous women. Find those, support those, listen to those. You know, we're two white women talking about this. We're doing what we can, but honestly, those are the women who know firsthand these things that they have to deal with. And so please go listen to those, educate yourself on those. You know, that's one small way of helping. Just start to educate yourself, listen to those stories so we can bring more awareness to them. Follow those podcasts so more attention is drawn to them, so they get the funding they need to help find their people, to bring justice for other Indigenous people. I was going to say another thing is homicide is the third leading cause of death for Native women between the ages of 10 to 24, and the fifth leading cause of death for women 25 to 34 years old.
That's crazy. And
yeah, 40% of identified sex trafficking victims are Native American or Alaskan Native women. Like, this is just, and there's more statistics about the homicides and stuff. I couldn't figure out how to word the homicide one correctly. It was like stats from 2020 about there being over 5,000 cases, but like 500 and some were still open by the end of the year, and 600 some had been reported to the FBI. So I needed to look more into that. But like I said, I'll share that statistic. There was even a nice graphic from the site I found. I know you sent it to me too, Shannon. And then when I was looking, I found it again on a site that I'll link to. But I'll even share that statistic graphic in my show stuff this week. So like I said, I know that's a shorter episode. Every podcast I came across was around the 40-minute mark for this. Because there's not much information. All there is a speculation. And I could have gone on more about the possible suspects and who they were and all that, but I don't feel like that's the focus.
No.
If you want to know those things, you can easily find it. I'll even link to Unresolved. He wrote up he typed out his whole show thing and put it up on the website. So like, I'll link to that. You can read what he wrote. So he does talk more about the brother, Arlie's brother, and why he was a suspect and the things he did. They talk about the confession killer. But it's just,
it's unfortunate they didn't catch anybody in that. I just think, like, especially, I mean, I know there's lots of cases that are unsolved, but like, this one is just so icky. Like, it's just terrible. And to think that someone really just got away with it, you know, and it's just awful.
And I don't know if there are other victims of this killer. I hope that they've been identified, even if they haven't been linked to this case. I hope they've at least been identified. Their family isn't wondering whatever happened to them. It's just such a heartbreaking thing. I really wish Unsolved Mysteries, I know they've started up again. I don't know if we can write into Unsolved Mysteries and be like, can you cover this now in volume 4 or whatever? Like, this needs to be covered.
That's a huge one and especially being a serial killer and not being even, I mean, the word not really being out and being a huge case, like, that is really bizarre.
Yeah. And I feel like Unsolved Mysteries has always been a big thing. I feel like it's a big thing when it came back. It's Netflix. It'll pop up. They've already had cases. We covered the one case from Kansas that, you know, they're looking into more cases because of Unsolved Mysteries. Mm-hmm. So maybe, I don't know, if you guys are listening to this, write into Unsolved Mysteries, baby. Like, maybe we put something up and like write into Unsolved Mysteries to cover this case. Like, this needs something.
Mm-hmm. That is weird. Yeah. And especially with it being so old, like, I feel like stuff like this just gets forgotten, not by obviously family members or not everyone involved, but like, you hear about it and it's like on to the next thing, you know? So that's really sad.
And I just can't imagine these victims' families are probably like, they've probably almost resigned themselves to this never being solved.
And they're probably like used to that too, which is even sadder because they just know
So that's my case this week. I know it's a heavy one. There's not much. Like I said, I really wish I would have been able to give more background on these women and talk about who they were as people more than just victims. So if you guys have any information you want to share, if you guys, you know, if you feel so inclined to email or write Unsolved Mysteries and be like, you guys need to cover this. But like I said, yeah, educate yourself. We'll post things. But that's what I got this week. So well,
thanks for bringing that to light, because I've seen that pop up just when Googling things, but I've never gone in and read exactly what the case is. So yeah. Thanks for bringing that one up. I'm glad to hear that. And not glad, there, but you know.
I know what you mean. There's also apparently a Kansas butcher. There have been some.
I hate the word butcher.
I know.
Sick. I know. It just sounds so terrible. Like, no, thank you.
I mean, all of it's terrible, but yeah.
Just,
No.
Not a fan.
So, yeah. So that's that. We are recording a few days early, so look at us being ahead of the game.
Words. I know.
I know.
That's great. That's fabulous. We're well into November now, so.
Yeah, we're in November now. We already have to start thinking about Thanksgiving and then Christmas and all that fun stuff.
Cassie, you'll be appreciative of this. Speaking of just, you know, everything coming up. So my daughter's birthday is coming up, and unlike me, she's very into aliens and Bigfoot and all that. And she said, Mom, you have to tell Cassie what I'm doing for my birthday. So she's decided she wants an alien themed birthday party, and we're doing an alien escape room that I found. That's a local one. Oh my God,
I love it.
And I'm actually really kind of excited, but I'm like, really? She's like, Mom, aliens are real. And she's like, tries to find these things to show me. And I'm like, okay, you and Cassie can go research together, because it's so funny. I'm like, could you be any more opposite of me? So it's it's funny. I thought you'd enjoy that. So I've been looking at all these fun alien decorations. I'm like, you know.
I highly enjoy that. I love that so much.
Yeah. I knew you'd enjoy that. And that's on a lighter note, since that was a heavy one, you know? I thought, well, fun. So
yeah.
That is that.
I will say, since we didn't get to talk about shows or anything, if you guys haven't and you haven't watched it yet, The Bastard Son and the Devil Himself on Netflix, I'm obsessed with. There better be a second season.
I cannot say that I've watched that or that I will, but maybe, I mean, you I don't know. It doesn't sound like it's down my avenue.
Well, first of all, you watch Sabrina and stuff.
I don't like that. No, I did not like Sabrina, actually. I know I meant to respond to that because you said something the other day about it. I don't like the demonic stuff. Like, I don't mess with that stuff.
Okay, so this one isn't demonic, though.
What? Okay, so, like, what is it, then?
Okay,
so well, because the title is very, like, whoa.
Okay, I know. Okay, so the title's slightly misleading.
Yes, okay, that makes me feel slightly better, because I wouldn't just go search and, like, oh, this show sounds lovely. Like, you know?
First of all, it's a British show. I love me some British television. Yeah.
There are some good ones. I mean, we can be honest.
I found out halfway through it's based on a book trilogy. You know I'm about to go read those.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
So this is what it's also third. Beautiful people all around with accents. Okay. What's not to love?
Okay. That's okay then. That's fine. I don't care what the storyline is. I love a good accent and
But so what it is we have our main character is Nathan, who... So there are Fairborn witches and there are Blood witches, and they're at war together. And Nathan's mom was a Fairborn witch, but his dad was a Blood witch, and he is known as the Wolf, and he is the devil because he has killed a bunch of Fairborn witches. So you're like, this dude is bad. The Blood witches are bad. So Nathan's mom dies. He has an older sister, bitch be cray. You'll have to watch and see. That girl is all sorts of messed up.
He's gonna have one of those in a good right? show.
I mean, that girl is heartless. So anyways, so they decide, okay, we're gonna raise Nathan because there's a prophecy that says his own blood will kill the wolf, right? So like, Fairborns are like, cool. We don't know if he's gonna be Fairborn or if he's gonna be blood. When a witch turns 17, they have to take the blood of their family, get their powers, and if they don't, they die a horrific death. So...
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't want...
So, okay. Over the course of this, we soon discover Are the Blood Witches as bad as we think? Are the Fairborns as good as we think? Chaos ensues. Everyone wants Nathan for different reasons.
Is Nathan the good-looking one? Do we like Nathan?
Nathan, we like. Okay. His companion, Gabriel, is also good-looking. And then he has a lovely other female companion, whose name I'm drawing a blank on right now. She's also delightful. Love her wit. She's Fairborn. Gabriel is Blood Witch. Listen, there's only like 6 or 8 episodes. They're great.
So like fantasy, sci-fi-ish, sort of, kind of-ish?
I'd say more so fantasy. Not really sci-fi, because it's magic.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And witches, you don't know what their powers are going to be, and they only get one power.
So Encanto? Just kidding.
Not I love Encanto
so much. You know, that just made me think, you know, your power. You don't know it.
Yes. You open the door.
Okay. Don't talk about Bruno.
A lot of them do like family powers get passed down and stuff, and so his friend, her Fairborn power ends up being okay, not what anyone in her family would have thought. I'm just saying, it's wonderful, it's delightful. Watch it. No demons involved, I promise you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm like, nah, I don't want to do the whole demon Satan, like, I'm good, thanks.
Okay, no demons, I promise. Okay. No demons, but that one was grateful.
We'll see.
Okay. That one was good.
I feel like I've watched so many things lately that I don't even know. I mean, right now, on the opposite end of things, I'm really into the 3rd season of Love is Blind. So if you guys are not in, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, my guess is you like the dark shows. But if you need some trash TV, I mean, I enjoy it.
So. Speaking of opposite end of the spectrum, I do want to watch. Have you watched the trailer on Netflix for Blockbuster?
I think it's out. I actually have almost completed the season because.
Okay, is it as great as it looks?
It's like funny pretty wise. Good. Like it's okay. Like, I don't know that I would. I don't know. I like it. I had it playing while I was working, so it was on in the background, and some parts were funnier than others. I think the thing, it's like nostalgic for us, obviously, because that was our time. And so there's a lot of funny things in regards to that, but like some of it's kind of like, okay, this is a bit much. It's stupid, but they're like 20-minute episodes. So
like, I was gonna say, I'm just looking for like mindless entertainment.
Yes. I think it's worth a watch because they're short enough anyway. So I did watch that and I was like, okay, this is, I mean, I still have like 3 episodes left, but it's good. It was fun.
Yeah. I finally, I'm way behind, but I finally started the 2nd season of Only Murders in the Building.
Oh, I loved the 2nd
season. Which kind of combines both. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And who doesn't love Steve Martin and,
Stephen Short.
Martin Short. Martin Short. And honestly, and Selena Gomez, like I didn't have an opinion on her either way, but the chemistry between those 3 is amazing. I think they have, they're great together. I love that show.
Also Cara Delevingne in it. I'm kind of loving and the chemistry between her and Selena Gomez. Okay.
I know. I was like, why does she look familiar? And then I figured, you haven't watched it. Yeah. So once you're done, we can discuss that.
I know. Which it's funny because, someone I know, was like, have you watched this? And I was like, yeah, I'm behind on 2nd season. But he was like, I think of you and your friend when I watch this. Like, thank you so much. Hopefully we get
tie-dye hoodies like them.
I really want one. I know.
I actually almost bought you one for, what is it, Christmas or your birthday last year? Because you can, like, buy them. And I was like, okay.
That's okay, amazing. So it's funny that you say that because, I started watching it with my sister, which I got to find out if she's going to let me finish it because she had foot surgery. I've been over there taking care of her. We probably could have gotten more watched, but she's on pain meds.
Drugged and so she's falling tired. Asleep.
But now I'm like, do I have to keep waiting for you? Can I watch this now? But as we're watching it, and they show a flashback with Bunny, which I had a brief moment of feeling bad for Bunny. But I was like, I was like, I wonder if I can get that hoodie. I was like, I should go online and look and see if I can get that hoodie.
Absolutely.
I figured you could.
We should gift ourselves that this year.
I think we should. I really want that hoodie. So yeah,
I love them. Yeah. I love that show. I love everything about that show. If you guys haven't, it's on Hulu. Check it out.
Yes.
Only Murders in the Building.
Yes, I really enjoy it. Otherwise, I haven't been watching as much because I've been binging all the books that Kate Alice Marshall has out right now.
Did you say binging all the books? It sounded like you said bitching all the books. I was like, huh?
Binging. Instead of binge watching, I'm binge reading.
Binge reading, yeah. That's weird to
because
say reading, you know?
I can't get enough of her writing, and I'm about to finish the final like young adult slash adult book she has out, and the rest don't come out until January and August. So I'm probably going to then turn to her children's mystery horror that she has going on.
Oh,
the first one's called 13s, and I like the cover, so I'm like, you know what, whatevs.
I do judge a book by its cover, absolutely.
So. Okay, so I was talking to someone else, and I was like, I don't care what they say, I totally judge a book by its cover, and I'm usually right.
I mean, right. I agree, 100%. I started reading the Final Girl support group. That's what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
So I started that, like, beginning of October, and then October got so busy. This is the longest I've taken to read a book. I sat down yesterday, because I was like, I need to binge this, because I have a new book I really want to read, and it is so good. It reminds me of Murders in the Building because it's dark, but it's funny. It's like the dark comedy, totally, but it's really good. And I just love slasher stories. So yeah.
I brought you over the two, right? I brought you the Horror Hotel and...
Uh-huh. Shit. Yep. And I can't remember it sitting on my shelf, but it's like dark in here and I can't see what it says.
There was, so nope, you're good.
I have that. And then I just got the new Matthew Perry book from Friends, his memoir he wrote, because I love Friends and I love him. And I need to read that.
So, there you go.
Not the same at all as the other books, but on the opposite end of the spectrum, I'm going to
listen. It's whatever. My audiobooks range. Fine. They tend to be more of the fantasy instead of, but I, Kate Alice Marshall's more of the like paranormal mystery stuff going on.
That's fun. The one I love right a good now book that like, keeps you guessing.
Yeah. The one I'm reading by her right now is called I'm Still Alive. And it says it was optioned for a movie. So that'll be interesting to see. But this is more of like a survival. I don't know. This young girl is in an accident, a car accident with her mom, and her mom dies. And so she has to go live with her estranged father up in like the Canadian wilderness. And someone killed her dad and burned down his place. And so now she's like in the, and I'm not giving anything away, that tells you in the book, like
survival
cover.
Mode.
So she's trying to survive, but like, it, you get bits and pieces. She goes to before and after. She's like journaling as she's like in the woods.
That sounds good.
Yeah. I don't typically read like survivalist stories like this. But like I said, this author,
when someone's after you trying to kill you, then it's a lot more interesting.
They killed her dad. I don't know if they're after her, but she is worried that they'll come after her.
So she's taking precautions.
I'll keep you posted. But yeah, so
you guys have a whole list of shows you can watch, a whole list of books you can read. That's what happens when our cases aren't as long, and that's fine.
Yeah. And we haven't had a chance to talk much in the last week.
So we're just going to catch up on here, guys.
I'm sure the people who were tired of it have already skipped through. So.
Yeah, that's fine. That is fine.
For the rest of you stuck around, you're our friend too, and you wanted to hear about these things, right?
And we want to hear what books and what shows you watch and recommend. Yeah. I watched The Good Nurse, by the way. That's not, I mean, just on the realm of true crime.
Yep.
Very good. Everybody, check that one out.
That's what I've heard. Mm-hmm.
Such a
Cabinet of Curiosities on the realm of like the horror. Watch that during my tattoo. Not for me.
I'm glad you told me not to watch it because I saw it on my thing and I was like, I'm waiting for Wednesday to come out, which comes out soon. So.
Which one?
Oh, Wednesday. Yes. And it comes out on a Wednesday.
I know. Good.
It's amazing.
They would have dropped the ball if they didn't. Honestly.
I really wanted it to come out though in October, but it's fine.
I did too.
That would have made more really sense, but whatever.
Speaking of kids' books and stuff too. So for a long time, I have really wanted to get and read The School for Good and Evil. Like I've eyeballed that shit at Barnes & Noble like none other.
Did you watch it yet?
Not yet, because my kids don't want to watch it.
Oh,
so
that's so funny. We watched it last night. So it's funny because it's like fresh on my brain.
Yeah.
Very good. It's like Harry Potter, but on steroids, kind of. You know what I mean? Like darker. So,
but I still really want to read the book too, but I know myself. Yeah. It's funny because I remember first seeing the first book like years ago, and I was like in the kids section like for something for my son when he was younger, and I was like,
yeah,
I kind of want this book. And I was like, no, Cassie, you're an adult. Yeah. Listen, I'm sure the book
is good, just like Harry Potter. Like, oh, it's a kid book, but adults are obsessed with, you know what I mean?
I'm probably going to get the audiobook of it. Although I did see like a package bundle that wasn't like the books all bundled together. That wasn't too badly priced.
How many are in that series?
I think there's a few, but it looks like now she has like a spinoff series or something.
Oh, well, I could tell by the way it ended that there was going to be another one. And I was like, I knew it was based off a book, but I don't know.
So I think there's four, I think there's four or five books, but now she's got another book that's called, the series is called Rise, but it's still part of the good and evil.
Oh,
but it sounds like it's a male protagonist now instead. I didn't want to look too much into it because I was worried it would give stuff away. So I think I'm going to get the first book on audiobook because I liked the narrator.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was more of a Descendants Harry Potter mesh. That's what I was trying to think of there.
Okay. One last thing. Sorry. Yes. Monster High. I own the soundtrack now. It's phenomenal.
I have the song. I love that so much. I haven't watched it yet, but I know that if you liked it, I'm probably going to also get it because I feel like we always buy the same music. Mm-hmm. So that's funny.
Uh-huh. The music's great. I've watched it so much. My daughter loves it.
What's it on? Netflix?
It's on Paramount Plus.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You didn't tell me that.
Which it might eventually go onto Netflix because it's Nickelodeon. And so like Netflix owns Nickelodeon.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. They now have, well, then I discovered, so there was the Monster High Dolls. There was actually a Monster High show back in the day, like 2010s, 12.
I knew that, but I guess I didn't realize it was a movie now, too.
So it's a live action movie. Okay. Now Nickelodeon's also rebooting the cartoon show.
Oh.
I then tried to see if I could watch the OG show, and it says it's on Peacock, which is so weird to me. Like, why would you be on Peacock if you're owned by Paramount? But some of it's on Netflix, I'm not finding, like, the actual, like, series anywhere. Even on Amazon, it's all just movies.
Blu-rays or DVDs, and you just, like,
I don't know. But, it's kind of taken over a little bit right now.
That's okay.
You know, listen, it's adorable. It's very self-positive. Like, love who you are. Frankie's probably my favorite. And as much as I've watched this, I just realized that when they introduce themselves, she goes, the actor, or Frankie goes, Frankie Stein, they, them. And I was like, And the
that's so funny.
It's delightful.
I'll have to watch it.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
Oh, and there's going to be a sequel. I did Google. They leave a thing. There's like a tiny little end credit type thing. And then I Googled and they've already 2023.
Oh,
we should have a sequel.
Oh, wait, that's not far. It seems, no, we're just a couple months there. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Well,
so now
House of Dragon still has like 2 years before that comes out, the next season. And I'm pissed about that. So
I'm still
like 2025.
Not watching that. I'm not watching
It's actually really good. I know. And I know you won't, but I actually enjoy it almost more than I enjoy Game of Thrones.
And that's what
Snow, that one I am all in for because yum.
I don't know. I love Jon Snow. Oh, Jon's. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. What?
Jon Snow. Yeah. Snow. Yeah.
What? Snow.
You haven't seen this?
No.
There's been an ad for it. I'll send you it.
When you were talking about Snow, I started thinking of President Snow from the Hunger Games because now there's the serpent and dove thing coming out.
Oh my gosh. No. That's so funny though, because on the same realm of things, now we're all here. Let me show you this.
I need to cut part of this like as we go through.
I mean, maybe. Let me see if I can get my camera to load here.
Okay, what the hell? I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, just
Jon Snow's. How are we getting a show on Jon Snow?
Because he's hot and we like him and we hate it how the series ended. How about that? That's why.
I mean, yes. All right. Okay,
that's fine, guys. So sorry.
All right, you guys. Sorry. If you have made it this far, thank you.
Tell us if you made it through the whole thing and we will give you a shout out next time. Okay.
Yeah, we'll give you a shout. Speaking of shout outs, though, we need to give Louise a shout, our patron.
Louise, we love you. Thank you.
We love you. Thank you so much.
What do you like to watch, Louise? Yeah. Tell us. We want to hear.
Yes. And then you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, the TikTok. You can email us at heartlandperioddarklandpodcast@gmail.com. If you made it this far, rate and review too, please. Oh, that helps us a ton. Even if it's just to tell us what your favorite book was, or if you like, you guys talk way too much about books and movies at the end. So I stopped.
Or tell Cassie that she should watch House of Dragon season 2. You can do that.
It's
on
not
going to
happen.
Or season 2. Tell me. She just need to watch season 1 first. That's what I meant.
Yep. Watch The Bastard Son and The Devil Himself.
I mean, you can also leave that on a review. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but you can tell us what you want us to watch.
All right, okay, you guys. Thank you so much, and stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.